Blog Talk Radio.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest joining me today, somebody I've known for quite a few years who used to have a show on after this exact one on good old WNJC 1360 AM. It was called the 2-Hour Show. He's now broadcasting on the web on UTM Radio. Sorry about that. And, you can check it out. I'll give you all the details for that. We're going to talk about his new foundation. He's going to be doing some big things, and we'll get into it. Hope he's got some time and his battery's charged. So I'd like to welcome the one and only THE, the true hip-hop entity, my buddy, Zachariah Harden.
Going on, Bulger, Vinny, Bonfire. Bigly, NASCAR analyst extraordinaire. It is good to be talking to you again, bruh.
Yeah, I remember after I left the station up there, you guys are still on. I moved out here and wound up calling you guys back. And who knew you had C Knowledge on, who was on
back
when I was up there.
I know, right? We brought on the legendary Diggable Planets when you was an engineer on my show, the 2-Hour Show. You my favorite dude. And I remember first meeting you, and you seen all the CDs we had. And man, you was juggling them jumps. We had you working hard, Vinny. Working hard. And you used to keep up. Yup. And we had C Knowledge of Diggable Planets on. And he came up to the show. It was awesome. Like, I mean, we had, you remember when we had Papa Wu, Wu-Tang Clan, Old Dirty Bastard's cousin on?
Yep.
And y'all got it kicked off. Yeah, he almost got us kicked off the air.
I know. Well, that's what happens when you don't have what they call a dunk button, you know, a little sensor button where you can kind of delay.
Exactly. Yeah, because Papa Wu, rest in peace, because he died actually recently.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Papa Wu died this year, early this year. And, he was a legendary guest on the 2-Hour Show. Vinny Bonfigli was a part of that. You was trying to censor it so hard, baby boy. You did your thing, man. You did your thing. And, man, who else we had? We had DMC from Run DMC on. You remember
that's
that?
Right. Yep.
Yep. Legendary days right there. And, also, we had Curtis Blow, classic hip-hop artist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got some high-profile, some A-listers.
Yeah, A-listers, you dig? And I always like to thank you for giving me that opportunity to have a, you know, a dope, well-seasoned engineer who ain't afraid of nothing. Yeah, I mean, Marine on board with the kid. I appreciate that, Vinny.
Well, it's part of it. Hey, it was on the job training for me, so I learned pretty quick. So
you taught me the board ops, and me and Guy here started doing board ops.
Oh, cool. That was one of them who took over after I left, didn't it?
Yeah, it was me and Guy here at the General.
That old dinosaur board we had there, they're probably still using it.
That thing. Because I'm at UTM Radio now, Under the Middle Radio. We have our own app. And actually, that's who coerced me in to leaving that station, because they had it all set up for the 2-hour show, and man, we just went there and did our thing. We have our own app that's downloadable on any app store. UTM Radio is free. It's a 4.9-star download. It's an awesome thing. You know, we still do classic hip hop and independent artists, and we just do it 24 hours a day now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of programming.
For your viewers who know hip hop like that, we have Def Squad artists famous, really famous Eric Sermon. If you ever heard of Eric Sermon and Def Squad, Redman, Keith Murray, they broadcast a show called The Ryan Show every Thursday. We have Busta Rhymes' cousin every Thursday who broadcasts his show.
One question.
His name is Rampage.
Is Busta Rhymes' cousin Busta Nut?
I knew you still got it, Vulgar Vinny. And that would be awesome. That would be just too much, though. But Busta Rhymes' cousin, yeah, his name is Rampage. His show comes on at 8. We have a legendary reggae artist, Timmy Tanzania, whose show comes on at 3 o'clock on Mondays. DJ Soul Buck, who's on 1,000 different radio shows right now. For Buck's sake, he comes on at 8 o'clock. And you know the 2-hour show. We come on at 9 o'clock still on Monday from 9 to 12.
You're at least 9 to 12 now instead of.
Yeah, Benny.
Now, is that
much,
a. Now, is this. Just strictly, is it like NJC was only on the internet, or?
Actually, we are on internet, but we also are on app. So you can just download our app, and it's, like I said, it's a 4.9-star downloadable app, and it works perfectly. It has radio and TV, because we have our own TV license. We're a licensed radio and TV station. And we have independent animes that we produce on it right now with independent artists, music behind it. We're looking for programming for our TV station right now. I also will be providing some things for because, you know, I'm program director, promotions director. Plus 24 hours of indie hip-hop, classic hip-hop, underground hip-hop, music you never even heard before. We, like, oh, my goodness, Vinny. We have indie video show that broadcasts every Wednesday on the app called Indie Wednesday Videos at 8 o'clock to 12. And you could just see really nice, dope, independent artist videos.
That's pretty cool, man. It sounds like it's keeping you pretty busy, other than going out in the garden and growing some stuff that I can put on the stove.
Oh, yeah, that too. And the best thing about it, Vinny, you can watch the shows live. So say, for instance, the two-hour show come on, all you got to do is hit the TV feature. You'll see all of us live in studio. You know, all our guests pop up on like a little screen behind us if they're calling on the phone or if they're in studio. It's all, you know, it's really a real, and all our live shows are like that. It's a really nice experience coming to the studio. If you come to the studio, you know, we have full bar. Our new studio has a open bar, a stage. It holds 150 people.
Wow.
But COVID happened, Vinny.
Yeah, the COVID.
Yeah, but we still, soon as this everything is over, we have a contingency plan. As soon as everything is over, we will be. A lot of people know where we just moved at, but a lot of people don't because we never really put it out there yet because we wanted it to be a surprise. In March 25th, we moved into our new spot, and COVID went into full effect. So we never really got to broadcast where we just moved to. But we now, UTM Radio, shout out to Gunner G, who put together the deal. We now have a 150-person spot, I mean studio. When you see who we merged up with in the hip-hop world, people are going to love it in Philly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oops. You know what shocked me, though, is not so much that. I get a song sent to me via Messenger from a country singer I know, and it was a mesh. And I sent it to you, and I was like, hey, tell me what you think it is.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that was actually pretty good, right?
Yeah, I never heard of the hip-hop artist. I don't know if you had, or it's just somebody local in the Michigan area.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Did I like it or did I dislike it? Because people send me stuff all the time, and I hear so much stuff, and I'm not going to hold you. 90% of it I hate.
Well, let me scroll back through the messenger.
Yeah, I think 90% of it I hate.
You thought it was pretty good and you would play it, so.
Oh, yeah. Because I thought I remember you sending me something. I'm like, darn, did he send me something that was actually, like, good from some country hip-hop artists? Because you never really hear anything like that, right?
No. Mm-hmm. And it was called I'm Alive, and the artist was written by Solistic and Cat Peel. And they performed it together, or recorded it together.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I would definitely play that. So my new foundation is a nonprofit, 501c3. We'll be debuting it in January of 2021. It's called the Hip Hop Foundation. And artists like the artist you just sent me will be able to feature, because we're going to be doing some dynamic things for the community, because hip-hop is really a nonprofit. That's how it originated. Kool Herc originated hip-hop in a community center in 1973 to raise money for his sister to have school clothes and food for lunch. So the first hip-hop show was a fundraiser in a community center, right? So hip-hop roots, the father of hip-hop did that. And so the hip-hop roots is a fundraiser in a community center to raise money for somebody who does not have a certain thing, because hip-hop in our community, in the urban community, is basically a dream, Vinny. Like, you already know how it is in the black community. I'm going to keep it real. Either you do sports or you rap. Basically, the dream in the hood. That dream of being a businessman is far in between. And plus, that's, like, really in our blood. We are very active people. We are very musical people. People say that's racist, but no, it's just true. No, we got soul. We empower the universe and the world with our our culture. Every musical thing we ever put out was bootlegged, taken from us, and used for something else. Say, for instance, hip-hop was actually made, look it up, to stop the violence in the hood. B-boy battles, if you've ever seen breakdancing, it was a lot of gang violence. Breakdancing was invented in the hood, and people did it on the streets, in the clubs, and they were gang members. So instead of shooting each other, they decided to formulate dance moves.
Yeah, I was wondering how that started. I mean, because, you know, it was like throw a mat down on the ground somewhere, and then that's what it
That whole B-boy pose and stuff like that, looking hard and stuff, because they were gang members. But these gang members created their own dance form in order to stop the violence in their communities. So when people say, oh, hip-hop is violent, I beg to differ. We created DJing to stop the violence. So in the parks, I don't know if you ever heard the songs. Every song you hear when it's talk about hip-hop and how it started, it'll say hip-hop started out in the park. We used to do it in the dark. You know, people would go out in the park, and these gang members would bring out their biggest speakers, and they would create music out of old stuff because we couldn't buy stuff and make it sound really hot. Like KRS said, we take the wackest songs, we make them better. You know what I mean? Like remixes, taking beats and screwing them to make another beat because we don't have much, so we take what we got to make something and create something new. You dig?
Of course. I mean, the whole, if you look at every genre of music came out of something that was pretty much started by African-Americans, whether black, jazz, blues, rock, it all just evolved from that. Hip-hop just starts a new trend, and then they're probably going to morph that into something.
But the
well.
Thing about it is people don't realize, well, most people, I'm not going to say all people, don't realize the roots and the reason in which these things started off. People say they like have stop the violence benefits, and they use the hip-hop culture. But we actually already came up with the solution to stop the violence. We had a culture that actually stopped the violence and raised money for the community. You know, we actually had our own, like, we sold our own stuff out of the trunk of our cars. Will you see the parental discretion advised sticker? Do you know who created that? Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
They used to sell stuff in the back of their car. They created that sticker that everybody uses now. I mean, yeah, they get a percentage off of it, but you see the ingenuity of the hood to let you know we do our thing and we can do it ourselves. That they were job creators. They put on shows in their communities that brought jobs. People booked these shows. People performed in these shows using their talents, which got them paid, and they gave it to their families and fed their families. It was people who wanted to take it from them and use it for their purposes. Now b-boying, that was a tool to stop the violence. Now it's publicized all over the world, and none of that money goes back to the community center. No money goes back to the first amphitheater, the community center. They take it to downtown and put it a $50 to $100 ticket for something that we created in a community center, and none of that money goes to the hood. You dig what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah, once again, we hijacked. So the Hip Hop Foundation is basically bringing that back into the hood so we can beautify our neighborhoods, because no matter what, it's going to be hip-hop shows. Why not perform in a hip-hop show that's going to build a new playground and now your name on the playground because your show that you performed in raised $100,000 throughout the year because you performed in these shows. So now this show is some rapper's name playground. So now when people walk through the hood, little kids walk through the hood, hip hop is not unattainable to them. You know, they have some sort of inspiration. Their neighborhoods that look so dope that they'll want to do hip hop all the time because hip hop sustains their community. Because it's always going to happen. It's always going to be on the radio.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, you got your start on a community radio station, if I'm not mistaken.
No, actually, I got my start on mainstream radio, Vinny. My first start on mainstream radio, I always got to give a shout-out to my man Pierre Robert of WMMR. I started off on Pierre Robert, WMMR, 93.3 FM. That's where I made my start in radio. Yeah.
Wow. I thought maybe he heard you on your station and had you come on. I didn't know you got your start there. I thought you were just like...
Nope. I worked in a restaurant, Vinny. Yeah, I worked in a restaurant at One Bala Plaza under all the radio stations. And I didn't even know who Pierre Robert was. I didn't. I just knew he came in with his dog. I knew he liked his white bagel. You know what I mean? And I used to argue, I'm a professional. Anything I do, I try to do it extremely well. Remember people. I'm customer service type of dude, too. So people come in, I already got their order ready so they can go about their business. And he always liked that, and a lot of other radio personalities always liked that I did not know were radio personalities. I didn't even know radio stations upstairs. I didn't even know until one day I got an order and the delivery guy wasn't there because I'm a cook, and I seen it said it was a radio station. And I was like, what? Let me go up there. I took the coffee, and it was this guy, Pierre Robert. He said the whole good day in the morning. It's my friend Zachariah. He automatically put me on air right on the microphone then and there. And asked me about all the work, because you know, Vinny, I talk slick. He wanted to know about all the slang words that I talk about and the words that I say. Exactly. So I started breaking it down. And, you know, I noticed I was on the radio, and I knew I couldn't curse, so I made sure I kept my speech clean. I was nice and fluid. And when I left, they gave me $100 tip and asked me to come back to do another segment because the lines were blowing up, and that's how I got my start in radio. I did Pierre Robert's segment every Tuesday called Bridging a Gap, and it was actually called Bringing the Hood to Bala Kenwood.
That was pretty neat. You got your start on rock radio as a talk show guy. As a guest.
Exactly. Yeah, as a little segment guy. And then I started doing, you know, voiceovers, WYSP, Q102, Power 99, hanging out with those guys. I started doing, like, you know, little voiceovers. I even started coming up with plans and strategies, you know, for marketing. And that's actually how I became the board of director of a nonprofit radio station, 88.1, from those credentials.
Okay, so that's a nonprofit. Now, is that the one that I think we have a mutual friend who sent me a request? I guess because you and I were friends with Tamara Dumas?
Oh, yeah, Dumas. Yeah, probably so. Yep. Tamara is her name, Dumas.
Tamara.
Yeah. Yeah. Lady T is her name, 88.1. She has a radio show every Tuesday on 88.1.
Okay, so that was the same station you were on.
Yep, I was on that station. I was board of director of that station. I was actually the youngest board of director of that station, and I was in quite a few newspapers in... Actually, on the front of one newspaper. Yeah.
When I first met you, like you were coming down to NJC, and it's like, you know, so what, you know, usually everybody at a place like NJC is like, what's your day job? He said, this is my day job.
Yeah, this is what I do. This hop is what I do. Yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say, I invited her on. I said, you're available to do my show? And then she said, sure. And then I try to get her to come on, and it's like, didn't hear back from her, so, oh well, you know.
Oh, I will make that happen, Danny. I will make that happen.
Well, maybe she found my Facebook page and said,
Yeah, I mean, Vinny, you NASCAR. I mean, people, see, this is why I got to do your show. It's bridging the gap, Vinny. You know what I mean?
I gotta
do your show. It's bridging the gap, son, because, look, when people hear NASCAR in my culture, they is not going to think hip-hop.
No.
They're not going to think hip-hop. They're not going to think hip-hop associated. Now, when they find out that you are instrumental in hip-hop with the two-hour show, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Vulgar, Vinny? Yeah, I just cursed. R-rated. You said it was R-rated, Vinny.
Yeah, I did. I didn't click on the. That's another thing. You can actually, when you on this one, that you can actually click on. You want a PG or adults only? I forgot to click the R, but that's okay. It ain't the first time a few words have slipped.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy that does a podcast now who comes on my show. Get this. His name is Jeff Sandor. He played Dale Earnhardt in the CMT's History of NASCAR. And if you're a cook, so if you ever saw the on the History Channel, The Food That Built America, he played Colonel Sanders.
Oh, stop it. And I watched that series, too. I actually was just building on somebody on the History, one of those History Channel series on the automotive industry, what built America. It was really interesting. You know, I love that type of stuff, Vinny. So, you know, I'm going to check that out. I got to check that out.
Yeah, well, this was all in, what, last year? October.
Okay.
It was, you know, talking about all the guys. Most of them come out of, like, Pensy. You know, it was Heinz, Hershey, and then you had your other ones from out of state, Kellogg's, and then you had the guy that invented Coca-Cola, and
All
these people
that Coca-Cola story is crazy right there. If anybody never heard of the Coca-Cola story, that story is crazy. What?
Oh, yeah. That's why they call this a real thing. Because it has
is definitely the real thing. Cocaine. Well, I would love to carve out a new history. You know, Vinny, how Vulgar Vinny and THE carved a hip-hop NASCAR, you know, scene in the industry, in the culture of music. What? Oh, my goodness, son. That's a thing. That should be a thing, son. We should unify the culture, son.
Here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Comcast. Sponsors the Xfinity series, owns NBC, and they're out of Philly. Maybe you could propose something that, you know, they could do some hip hop stuff and
You already know how my mind works, Vinny. I'll be hollering at you. We live on radio talking business, though. You see how I never stop.
Oh, it's not business. We're like what you call brainstorming.
Brainstorming. It's so natural because we cool like that. And, man, we got, like, so much radio history. We used to, like, juggle the radio, go off from the interview during break, and just start building, getting things together for the next segment. All at one time, multitasking. Oh, that's so much fun. I miss those days, son. I miss those days.
That's when I used to cut loose there. It's I couldn't earn the vulgar title on air, so I had to do it off air.
Exactly. I got that one segment, though. Shout out to Tune Philizar. He's the host of the two-hour show on UTM Radio. He has one of the segments we did. You remember Hoes versus Versions? And you say, is she a one output, two output, or three output virgin? You just broke down the whole.
Input.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, snap. And he just recently showed me that. I was like, oh, I forgot all about this. That was classic. That was some classic stuff right there, Vinny. I think I'm going to have to put that out.
Oh, boy. Tag me and send it to me in message. That one video, the guest that came on, I guess you just posted it up or God had posted it up. Cause, and then all of a sudden, it looked like it was in a club somewhere, and then you see it cut away to a studio at NJC, and I'm like, when the hell was that? But was I still there? And then she hit my head.
Yeah, I think, no, you were still, Vinny, that was in like 2007. You were still there. You were like somewhere that day, and I had to take over the boards. That's why I was at the boards. Yep, you called in sick or something that day, because I looked at that footage. It was a documentary. I looked at that footage.
Well,
it was 2006, right? Where's Vinny at?
Well, that must have been at a later date, because if you as I watched through the video, I could see her head behind the board, just the way the camera angle was. I think he might have been shooting from back near me toward you guys.
Oh, yeah. That must have happened, because it was 2007, and I'm like, why am I right there?
Yeah, it's one of my downfalls is I don't miss days. Somebody dies.
Yeah, exactly. Damn it, yeah. I got to watch that footage again. Somebody else just hit me up on Instagram, so I got to watch it again now about that footage. Those are the golden years, man.
First came up, I don't know if I was doing my show at 8 yet or I was still on at 6, but when you guys first did yours, I was out in the, I walked out of the studio and looked around to see, I guess, who was coming up next, and you come in with your crew, and I'm like, damn, where are they going to fit in the studio?
I know, right? That's the main component of hip-hop, do it big. I don't know why that's a thing, but it's a thing, man. It has to be extravagant. It has to be big. I know, because we descended from, like, Egyptians. We write on walls. We wear lots of gold and sharp apparel, stand funny, walk funny. Walk like an Egyptian. You know, all that type of stuff.
I got you.
Yeah, same poses. It's in our DNA. It's in our roots. It has saved the world, because hip-hop is one thing that we really don't discriminate against. The only discriminatory thing of hip-hop is if you whack. You know what I mean? We don't care if you black. We don't care if you white. We don't care. All you have to do is be dope. Of course, there's haters everywhere, but all you have to do is be dope. Just be good at your craft. This is one thing that's all we look at, is if you're good at what you do, no matter what your culture is, no matter what your skin color is, no matter even if I hate you or not, because how many collaborations does hip-hop have with people that said they didn't like each other?
Yeah, this was funny how it all comes together. So if you don't like each other, next thing you know, you collaborate, then you do like each other.
Exactly. Because, really, let's get this money. Which, really, best interest, your family's involved, you're trying to do something positive. So, yeah, no doubt. Let's do that. And then you get to understand a person. You get to talk to a person. You're in the studio with a person. You're making money with a person now. Now it's like, I like you now. And let's show other people that too. You know, it's the one culture where we can definitely do that all the time. All the time. I mean, of course, it's a little rough and tumble. But come on, man. What artist venue or type of artist culture is not like that, from rock and roll to hip-hop to jazz to football to NASCAR?
Yeah, it just brings people together.
Yeah, it brings people together.
With all the shit going on in the country today, I'm glad I'm sitting on a mountaintop with away from everybody. It's like, man, it's like, what the hell is going on? But they,
well,
what,
Vinny,
how did all this
shit start
up?
Well, I'm gonna keep it real with you, Vinny. In my community, all we see is the same stuff. It's like all regular stuff to us. Like all my white friends, they be like, "How are you even doing this and keeping it moving? And why are you?" Like, because it's just in our community, it's like, what? This is just regular to us. We've been through worse. I mean, drug epidemic. I mean, even the AIDS epidemic. You know, shoot, yeah. The '80s, they was just shooting people in movie theaters. I mean, you couldn't even walk down the street. Bullets are an epidemic in my culture and in my environment. Bullets are an epidemic. And so far, bullets from the 80s, 90s, 70s have not, you know, COVID ain't topped those deaths.
Right.
You know, and you can just be a kid and walk down the street and catch a bullet. Your mask ain't going to stop you from that. So I feel everybody else. But, yeah, in my community, and it's always people that's doing worse, you know. That's why it's just be thankful what you got, you know. Like, people complain about doing dishes, but you ate. You doing dishes means you ate. People complain, oh, I lost my job and I got to move. You had a job and you got to move. I bet you a person on the street wish he had a problem that you had. Who's sleeping in a cardboard box, he wish he had your problem. A guy doing 25 years in prison wish he had your problem right now, that you lost your job and had to move and have to start over. They wish they had that option. So just be thankful, because some you could be doing worse, just do better. You dig? That's the mentality that we basically have in the hood. You know? So,
well, I don't,
to us,
I hear that, but
nothing's really
but
going on.
Yeah, but see, you're doing something to change that for yourself and better others, and why don't other people see that? I mean, you know, there is a way out. You just have to go for it.
Yeah, exactly. And you do what you can. You just do what you can. Of course, you're not going to be sick being able to save the world. I mean, if you believe in God and Jesus, look, the boy Jesus ain't even do that. And if you think you're better than him, you know what I mean, whatever. I'm not religious, but I just use that for an example. So you're not just going to change the world, but you do what you can. You know what I mean? Don't just complain about a problem. Like, I refuse to complain about the music I heard on the radio, you know? I just did something about it because I hate to hear myself complain. You know? Just in my head, it just sounds ridiculous. Once you know the problem and you complain about a problem, now you automatically know how to fix it, and you just do that.
But see, a lot of people won't do that. They just... Some people, I guess, just like to bitch and complain and blame other people for every, you know, their own problem.
Well, I can blame those people and I can judge those people, but you know what? I'm not even going to do that today, Vinny. You know why?
Yeah.
Because who knows the architecture? You know, I just put a post out that just, it basically said, if you're blaming people for your problems, it kind of blocks yourself from being, self-efficient. You know, it stops you from learning from mistakes and evolving, you know? And because you always blaming other people. My father used to always tell me, everything is your fault. If you walk down the street and you got robbed, it's your fault. You should have been paying attention when you was going. You should have been knowing what a neighborhood you lived in. You should have knew Wing Chun. You know what I mean? All your fault. The one thing in every problem, the one constant in every problem that you'll ever have is you. That's going to be the one constant in every problem. You know? So once you do you, then, bam, you good. You know what I mean? So just do that. And you just got to practice that doing it.
That's all. So you got the foundation, hip-hop. So you got the hip-hop foundation. Like you said, you're a busy guy, man. When do you get time for the lady?
The lady, she gets her thing. She's very busy also. Shout out to C.N. Jeffries, my homegirl Blue, sunglasses and lip gloss. She actually just designed a silk boxing uniform for a boxer named Odeem Ski or Mr. Lopez over there, Steve Lopez. He won his one of his last fights in that outfit, brass knuckles. All silk boxing robe. It actually has the 2-hour show logo on the back because I was his sponsor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was on fight night. He fought at the Sands Hotel. Oh, no. It was at the Taj Mahal, actually. During that Pacquiao fight.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I
mean, you had her on. You had Rhapsody, and you used to bring them on the station.
And Rhapsody's, like, going platinum right now. Right? You remember they called us up and was like, can you stop playing so much Rhapsody? This is before Rhapsody was big. Like, Rhapsody is a big thing right now. Rhapsody is, like, doing her, like, she's global right now. She's famous right now. Yeah, we was the first to play Rhapsody. We was the first to, like, promote her. Yup, this is back when Vinny used to have to pay space trucking for us. Cause space trucking. good old days.
Yeah, Deep Purple, the band that recorded that song back in the 70s is now in their 70s.
And man, I can't wait to use it again. I ain't even going to hold you. Because we will be. It will come a time. And Vinny, I am sorry. I'm going to have to bid you adieu because I am in the meeting in about an hour.
All right, my man. Thanks again for coming on. It's been good to reminisce. And like I said, give a shout out. Check out the Hip Hop Foundation. I'm sure you're going to have websites and all that coming up for it. And
yep, the Hip Hop Foundation.
Yep,
it will be the hiphopfoundation.org. If you log on, it will say the site is being built, but we will be dropping the site January 2nd with everything. You can also contact me at Zachariah Harden on Facebook. I'm pretty sure Vinny, I'll drop a link to Vinny also. And it's The Real T-H-E. On Instagram, and make sure everybody please download UTM Radio app. That's under the middle UTM on all of your app stores. It's a free download. Classic hip hop, independent artists.
Sounds cool, my man. You have a good one, brother. And let's collaborate a little bit sometime.
Oh, we are definitely going to do that, Vinny. We definitely doing that. All right, bro.
All right, man. If you want, maybe you can have the guy that played Colonel Sanders on your show.
See, Vinny, I'm going to have to come to your crib, Vinny. I'm going to have to come to your crib on a little getaway, and we're going to have to discuss some business, all right?
All right, because I ain't coming up there because
I already know.
If the city's burning down, I'm bringing the heat.
I already know, bro. And I love you, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man. Take it easy. Peace. There you have THE's, the real THE's, True Hop Entity, Zachariah Harden, my buddy, my brother from another mother. Yeah, we used to have some fun back in the days, and check out the Hip Hop Foundation. This is going to be coming in January, so good things. He's a good guy, and we had a bond that we have kept since 2007. I think it's one of his first episodes on WNJC, and we used to have some fun on there. I met a lot of nice people, and of course his lady, and interviewed some good hip hop artists and some underlings, because you know, that was what they do. Anyway, we did have racing this week. We had everyone at Talladega. Cup Series was won by Denny Hamlin. And somehow, Matt DiBenedetto, who finished second, was bounced down to 21st because he allegedly was penalized. So, and I'm watching this, and like a photo finish, and like he forced somebody, William Byron, to go below the yellow line, and I'm watching that like, where? I mean, they had like three overtimes or four overtimes. Figure the race had 188 laps to start and wound up with 200 to finish. So every time they're, before they get back to the white flag, the yellow would come out. Somebody'd wreck. That's pretty good series wrecks. So Hamlin starts on the pole, finishes in first. Led four times for 26 laps and earned five playoff points because he didn't win any stages, but he moves on to the next round of eight, leaving one spot for someone to take the checkered flag in advance, automatic, and then the rest are on points, and they'll be doing it at the Roval. There were 59 lead changes amongst 18 drivers. 59. Ooh. That's what happens when you have plate racing. It's one of the biggest amount of lead changes I think I've seen in a while. 13 cautions for 54 laps. A big one that caused the red flag on lap 110. That was a 10-minute red flag to clean it up. And then another one, the first one on 110 took 10 cars, involved 10 VIT cars, and the one on lap 189 involved 6 cars. Now, 184 to 187 forced the overtime with the 53 spinning in turn 4. And again, lap 189 to 92. And then one lap 94 to 198. So there's two overtimes there. So three overtimes later. And we had, it was Denny Hamlin's 44th victory in 538 Cup Series races. His seventh victory in ninth top 10 in 2020. And it's a second victory in 13th top 10 at Talladega. So it went from Matt DiBenedetto in second after he got penalized, moved down to 21st. So that way Jones was second. Ty Dillon wound up third. William Byron fourth. Chase Elliott in fifth. Ryan Newman sixth. Tyler Reddick seventh. John Hunter Nemechek eighth. Brennan Poole, ninth, and Ryan Preece rounded out the top 10. The points, Right now, Denny Hamlin leads Kevin Harvick by 20 points. All due to finishing order, Kevin Harvick was involved in one of the big wrecks, I think the first one. Chase Elliott is now up to third. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Martin Truex, fifth. Sixth, Alex Bowman. Joey Logano, seventh. Kyle Busch, eighth. Ninth, Austin Dillon, tenth. Kurt Busch, 11th. Clint Boyer, and Alec Amarola rounds out your top 12. The Benedetto, who could have won, might have won, wound up 15th in the points. He was out of the playoffs. He did make the playoffs, but he was out of it. He could have been a spoiler. Let's check out with our winner, Denny Hamlin.
Hey, Denny, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, great to have you in the media center. Congratulations on another win and securing your way into the next round of the playoffs. Can you just talk us through that wild race, kind of hanging out in the back and then getting the win?
Yeah, it was certainly uneventful for 490 miles for us. We didn't do a whole lot. We led the first part of it, but once we got shuffled there and I put my him in leading, came out fifth, you know, I didn't want to put myself in a position where I could get wrecked early. I didn't want a mid-30s finish. I would have taken mid-20s, but not mid-30s. In my mind, I needed to pick up about 20 points over the next 2 weeks to lock myself into the top eight. So I just kept watching as the wrecks were happening and kind of counting points. You know, I hate that that's the way I had to do it, but I mean, it's just, you got to play the game the way it's designed to be played. And, we put ourselves in a good position there and then, you know, got really fortunate where, you know, the wreck didn't seem like it was going to happen. We were in the 20s, I think on the first green white checkered. And, he's like, come in, let's get fuel just in case there's more green white checkers. And, at that point, we were just kind of punting, hoping that we were going to get somewhere in the top. And, you know, it just kept wreck after wreck, just, you know, made it to where we didn't have to worry about fuel. Everybody else did. And, you know, just things worked out for us, and we made the right move at the right time.
Great. Well, congratulations. We're going to take some questions here for the media. If you do have a question, please put the participants tab and raise your hand, or you can send me a chat, and we will kick things off with Bob Popper. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Denny, were you even thinking that there was a chance NASCAR would penalize you?
No.
No?
No.
How about
held it all day. They called it all day. It's a non-story.
Well, I mean, I think some of us were surprised they called it on to Benedetto at the end there. They called him. Because, I mean, I think on the last lap, it's always tough for them to call it, right?
They're supposed to, right? Call it the same on lap one as you do the last lap.
And so do you agree with the rule?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a victim of getting forced down there all the time, and finally they put their foot down. This is the rule, and we're going to enforce it. So, you know, you can't, as a leader or wherever you are, you can't use the yellow line as a defense. You have to play within the boundaries that they set. So, it's, you know, in the NFL, they had, you know, force out rules and things like that. They got rid of it, but it's the same kind of thing. I mean, they just, they set the precedence early. So, you know, that, you weren't going to get away with it. But it's just, it's part of it. I mean, I wouldn't say I would have done anything different, if I was Matt, but certainly, you just, I don't know. I'm not a huge blocking guy. So it's like, I don't know. I don't always think you have to block to win.
There's Denny Hamlin, and Bob Hockless caught him on a tough question there, because that was the alleged fact that the Benedetto forced everybody down, and they know that Hamlin did go below the yellow line. So that's kind of how it is. Anyway, Xfinity Series, Justin Haley takes the win in the playoffs, so he moves on. Ryan Sieg second, Noah Gragson third, all playoff contenders. There was 12 lead changes amongst 9 drivers, 7 cautions for 25 laps. That's not too bad for Talladega. It was Haley's 3rd victory in 65 races, and it's his 3rd victory this year, so they all came this year. Highest finishing rookie, Harrison Burton. He always seems to wind up in that category. Chase Briscoe leads the points. Austin Cindric is 2nd. Noah Gragson, 3rd. Justin Haley, 4th. Brandon Jones, 5th. Ryan Sieg, 6th. Allgaier, 7th. 8th, Ross Chastain. 9th, Harrison Burton, Brandon Brown, 10th, Riley Herbst, 11th, and Michael Annette did the rest of your top 12. In the Truck Series, Rafael Lessard been driving the Ford truck. Trevor Bayne, haven't seen Trevor's name up in a while, the former Daytona 500 winner. I did interview him quite a few times back in the day. He used to drive for the... for Roush Fenway in the Cup Series. Chandler Smith, 3rd. Ben Rhodes, 4th. Cody Rohrbaugh, 5th. Jordan Anderson, a good run for Jordan, former guest of the show, was 6th. 7th, Brett Moffitt. And 8th, Matt Crafton. 9th, Kaz Grala. And 10th, Derek Krause. 14 lead changes amongst 10 drivers, 5 cautions for 24 laps. Red flag in lap 14 incident, which took out a boatload of vehicles, and that was only for 4 minutes and 58 seconds. It was Lessard's first victory in 25 Truck Series races, his first victory in 2020, and his first victory in 2 races at Talladega. So it was a Closer was first because he's a rookie. And the points right now, we still have, we're down to 8. We started at 10. Austin Hill is first. Sheldon Creed, 2nd. Zane Smith, 3rd. Grant Enfinger, 4th. 5th, Brett Moffitt. Ben Rhodes, 6th. Matt Crafton, 9th. Tyler Ankrum is in the final 8. Let's see. I was drawing a blank for a second. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Anyway, two ladies finished next to each other, Jennifer Cobb and Natalie Decker, 30th for Natalie and 31st for Jennifer. Oh, and Angela Ruck, 39th. Oh, that's points. Poor Jen, she does so much and always comes up short. Tanner Gray, a 12th place finish, I think. Here we go. Jennifer Jo Cobb finished 24th. Natalie Decker, she wasn't in. She had to go for testing. Apparently something with her health. I see bits and pieces, so I'm not going to talk about it. Poor girl, young girl. I think she just turned 21. So, ARCA in action. Out at the Illinois Truck and Equipment Allen Crow 100. It was like a dirt race. Ryan Unzicker. Started on the pole, finished 1st. Haley Deegan, 2nd place for her. Knocking at the door, Haley. Doing better than them Fords. Brett Holmes, 3rd. Taylor Gray, 4th. Kelly Koski, 5th. Mike Bashan, 6th. Drew Dollar, 7th. 8th, Corey Heim. Payne, 9th, Michael Self. And Ty Gibbs finished 10th. Had a little tough day for him. Brett Holmes leads the points. Michael Self is 2nd. And Haley Deegan, she's behind a couple hundred. Oh, it's laps. Come on, points. Where's the points? There we go. She's about 53 points out of second, but she's the highest woman in the standings in the history of ARCA. And before we wrap up the show, we're going out to talk about the Roval, the first Cup Series race on the Roval in Charlotte. I can't go by any stats because it hasn't been done in the Cup Series. Or has it? Let me take one look. Because if I'm not mistaken, maybe there was one this year. I know the schedule's been so messed up, it's hard to track down. Charlotte Road Course. Past stats. I saw Charlotte 1 and Charlotte 2 earlier. I know the Xfinity and the trucks ran the Roval. Nope, it was. I'm going to go with the road. Guy who's been doing pretty good on the road this year, though. I'm going to pick Chase Elliott. I hope you all enjoyed today's show. Special thanks to my guest, PHE. Almost had him for the whole one, but he had to bail. Had meetings. He's always on the go. Good guy. And I guess that's it for this week. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing this week at the Roval Elimination Race. So we'll see who moves on. Have a good one. Bye now.